Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is Sunday. I'm Ana Mateo in Washington. In the U.S., for every dollar a man makes, a woman makes about 77 cents to do the same work. This is called a gender pay gap. A gender pay gap means that one sex is paid more for the same work as the opposite sex. And in the U.S., it is more often than not men getting paid more than women for doing the same job. So on today's show, we will hear about the efforts in Hollywood to achieve pay equality, equal pay for equal work. Actress Patricia Arquette is well known and has been around Hollywood for a long time. Most recently, she won the Best Supporting Actress Award at the 2015 Academy Awards. During her acceptance speech, she used the time on stage to talk about pay equity in America and Hollywood. The debate continues even now. Let's hear now as Ashley Thompson and Jonathan Evans bring us the story of the Hollywood gender pay gap.
When actors receive their Academy Award, known as the Oscar, they often thank their producer, director, family members, and even their agent. Last February, Patricia Arquette won the Best Supporting Actress Award for her role in the film Boyhood. She used her moment on stage to call attention to pay inequality in Hollywood. "It is our time to have wage equality once and for all, and equal rights for women in the United States of America." Arquette was talking about a socio-political issue in America. For every dollar a man earns, women are paid around 77 cents. This issue is called the gender pay gap.
Forbes magazine listed how much Hollywood actresses earn every year. The magazine named Jennifer Lawrence as the top-paid actress. She earned $52 million in 2015. Scarlett Johansson came in second at $35.5 million. The Forbes list included international stars. Chinese actress Bingbing Fan came in fourth with $21 million in earnings. There is no question about the wealth of these actresses. But the question is, should they be richer? According to Forbes, only four actresses earned more than $20 million. 21 actors, on the other hand, made at least that much. Overall, top actors like Robert Downey Jr. and Jackie Chan earn hundreds of millions of dollars more than Hollywood's top actresses. This isn't a problem only in the movie business. It tends to be an issue throughout the workforce.
The American Association of University Women studied the pay gap earlier this year. The organization used the American Community Survey. The survey asks questions about the cost of living in the United States. The most recent data from the survey came out in 2014. It showed men earn about 21% more than women in all industries. When Sony Pictures was hacked last year, thousands of private emails became public. Some of them included information about how much money the stars of the movie American Hustle earned. Jennifer Lawrence was one of those actors. Despite playing one of the main roles, she did not earn as much as her male co-stars, Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, and Jeremy Renner. Thanks to Arquette and other women, Hollywood celebrities are talking about pay inequality.
and you are listening to As It Is. I'm Anna Mateo, and after a short break, we will return as Ashley and Jonathan continue. Welcome back to As It Is. Today we are talking about the gender pay gap in Hollywood, a situation where men get paid more than women for doing like jobs. In the second half of today's show, you will hear the word brat, which is an annoying or badly behaved child. And retaliation is revenge. Retaliation is the action of harming someone because they have harmed you. Now let's return to Ashley and Jonathan as they report on the situation in Hollywood where men are making more money than women.
The first issue seems to be the idea that when a man negotiates his salary, he is seen as being tough. When a woman does the same thing, she is seen as confrontational and difficult. Some similar words were used to describe Hollywood actresses like Lawrence. Lawrence recently wrote a commentary for the web magazine, Lenny. She wrote about not wanting to seem difficult or spoiled when negotiating with producers. She makes the point that men and women are conditioned to behave differently when it comes to getting what they want. I was busy worrying about coming across as a brat instead of not getting my fair share, Lawrence wrote. Bradley Cooper and Jeremy Renner, who also appeared in American Hustle, shared their opinions about the differences in pay. Cooper said he would work to help actresses negotiate better contracts. Renner first said it was not his job to worry about his co-stars' contracts. But he then explained on Twitter that people should be recognized by their merit or service.
How can Hollywood learn to reward men and women equally? Can the lessons from Hollywood be applied elsewhere? Dr. Martha Lauzon is a researcher at San Diego State University. She says women who use managers to oversee their activities usually hire other women. Lauzon looked at the top 700 films in 2014. She found that if a director was a woman, the writer would be female too, more than half the time. But if the director was a man, only 8% of writers were women. In a conversation with Entertainment Weekly, Lauzon said the decision to pay men and women equally in Hollywood still depends on the studio executives. Why aren't we hearing from the major film studios? They are the ones who could change the gender dynamic, and they are silent. There has to be a will to change, she said.
California lawmakers credited Arquette's speech with helping them to pass the Fair Pay Act in October. The new law requires businesses to pay employees doing the same job the same level of pay. Small differences based on experience or work quality are permitted. The same applies to actors and actresses in Hollywood.
Thanks, Jonathan and Ashley, and thank you for listening. This wraps up our program for today, but don't go away. Coming up next, I will talk about the word bless in words in their stories, followed by People in America. And do come back tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Anna Mateo. Have a great day where you are.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
now the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. Thanksgiving. Just as it sounds, Thanksgiving is a holiday when people give thanks for all the good in their lives. Americans celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday in November. Family and friends gather around the dinner table, eat a big meal together, and say what they are thankful for. In other words, they count their blessings. To count your blessings is to be grateful for all your good fortune in life. But sometimes we use it as a warning to people who may forget to be thankful. Here's an example of how to use it that way.
I am so mad at my mother-in-law. She has invited the whole family on a Mediterranean cruise, even though she knows that I get seasick.
You know, you should really count your blessings. You have a great family who loves you and wants to spend money on you. Be thankful. Some people have it much worse.
Good point.
A blessing is something that helps you or brings you happiness. The word blessing comes from Old English, meaning blood. As the word evolved, it borrowed from a Latin word that means to praise or worship, literally to speak well of. The verb bless is a word you hear often in American English. This is because bless you is a common response to someone when they sneeze.
Achoo! Bless you.
Speaking in a non-religious way, bless means to make something lucky or happy. In a religious way, bless means to ask God to care for, protect, or make something or someone holy. And if a person talks about a blessed event, they are talking about expecting a child. This is slightly romantic, a little formal, and a lot religious, so use accordingly. And please take note of the difference between blessed and blessed. Blessed is the past tense of the verb bless, but blessed is the adjective. The word bless definitely has religious roots and meanings, but we use the word in other expressions as well. If something is a mixed blessing, it is both good and bad. For example, being beautiful can be a mixed blessing. You may get positive attention for your beauty, but people may also be too shy to talk to you, or look at you as being not very smart. We might also express this same meaning by saying something is a blessing and a curse. A blessing in disguise is something that seems to be bad or unlucky at first sight, but actually turns out to be good. For example, my trip to New York City was canceled. However, the cancellation was a blessing in disguise. A big snowstorm hit and shut down all the airports. I would have been stranded at the airport for days. Now, blessing someone may sound like a good thing, but sometimes it is not. When someone, often a woman, says, "bless her heart," about another, it means she feels sorry for that person. She is usually expressing pity more than concern. Truth be told, it is often a way of insulting someone indirectly, without making yourself look bad for doing so. Bless her heart is a common expression in the southern U.S. states, so it sounds more natural when pronounced with a slight southern accent. However, when someone says another person is blessed with a quality or talent, they really mean it. For example, he is blessed with athletic abilities. Or, she is blessed with a beautiful singing voice. And we here at VOA Learning English are especially blessed with a great audience who loves learning English. I'm Ana Mateo. Tell us what you are thankful for in the comment section.
now the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Today, Shirley Griffith and Steve Imber tell about the life of Barbara Cooney, the creator of many popular children's books. She died in March 2000. For 60 years, Barbara Cooney created children's books. She wrote some, and she provided pictures for her own books and for books written by others. Her name appears on 110 books in all. The last book was published 6 months before her death. It is called Basket Moon. It was written by Mary Lynn Ray. It tells the story of a boy who lived a century ago with his family in the mountains in New York State. His family makes baskets that are sold in town. One magazine describes Barbara Cooney's paintings in Basket Moon as quiet and beautiful. It says they tie together the basket maker's natural world and the work of his craft.
Barbara Cooney was known for her carefully detailed work. One example is in her artwork for the book Eleanor. It is about Eleanor Roosevelt, who became the wife of President Franklin Roosevelt. Miss Cooney made sure that a dress worn by Eleanor as a baby was historically correct down to the smallest details. Another example of her detailed work is in her retelling of Chanticleer and the Fox. She took the story from Canterbury Tales by English poet Geoffrey Chaucer. Barbara Cooney once said that every flower and grass in her pictures grew in Chaucer's time in 14th century England.
Barbara Cooney wondered at times if her concern about details was worth the effort. How many children will know or care, she said. Maybe not a single one. Still, I keep piling it on, detail after detail. Whom am I pleasing besides myself? I don't know. Yet if I put enough in my pictures, there may be something for everyone. Not all will be understood, but some will be understood now and maybe more later. Ms. Cooney gave that speech as she accepted the 1959 Caldecott Medal for Chanticleer and the Fox. The American Library Association gives the award each year to the artist of a picture book for children. She received a second Caldecott Medal for her folk art paintings in the book Oxcart Man.
Barbara Cooney's first books appeared in the 1940s. At first, she created pictures using a method called scratchboard. The scratchboard is made by placing white clay on a hard surface. Thick black ink is spread over the clay. The artist uses a sharp knife or other tool to make thousands of small cuts in the top. With each cut of the black ink, the white clay shows through. To finish the piece, the artist may add different colors. Scratchboard is hard work, but this process can create fine detail. Later, Barbara Cooney began to use pen and ink, watercolor, oil paints, and other materials.
Barbara Cooney was born in New York City in 1917. Her mother was an artist, and her father sold stocks on the stock market. Barbara graduated from Smith College in Massachusetts in 1938 with a major in art history. During World War II, Barbara Cooney joined the Women's Army Corps. She also got married, but her first marriage did not last long. Then she married a doctor, Charles Talbot Porter. They were married until her death. She had four children.
Barbara Cooney said that three of her books were as close to a story of her life as she would ever write. One is Miss Rumphius, published in 1982. We will tell more about Miss Rumphius soon. The second book is called Island Boy. The boy is named Matthias. He is the youngest of 12 children in a family on Tibbetts Island, Maine. Matthias grows up to sail around the world. But throughout his life, he always returns to the island of his childhood. Barbara Cooney also traveled around the world, but in her later years always returned to live on the coast of Maine.
The third book about Barbara Cooney's life is called Hattie and the Wild Waves. It is based on the childhood of her mother. The girl Hattie lives in a wealthy family in New York. One day she tells her family that she wants to be a painter when she grows up. The other children make fun of the idea of a girl wanting to paint houses. But as the book explains, Hattie was not thinking about houses. She was thinking about the moon in the sky and the wind in the trees and the wild waves of the ocean. Hattie tries different jobs as she grows up. At last, she follows her dream and decides to paint her heart out.
Of all of Barbara Cooney's books, the one that seems to affect people the most is Miss Rumphius. It won the American Book Award. It was first published in 1982 by Viking Penguin. Miss Rumphius is Alice Rumphius. A young storyteller in the book tells the story, which begins with Alice as a young girl.
In the evening, Alice sat on her grandfather's knee and listened to his stories of faraway places. When he had finished, Alice would say, "When I grow up, I too will go to faraway places, and when I grow old, I too will live beside the sea." "That is all very well, little Alice," said her grandfather, "but there is a third thing you must do." "What is that?" asked Alice. "You must do something to make the world more beautiful," said her grandfather. "All right," said Alice, but she did not know what that could be. In the meantime, Alice got up and washed her face and ate porridge for breakfast. She went to school and came home and did her homework. And pretty soon, she was grown up.
Alice traveled the world. She climbed tall mountains where the snow never melted. She went through jungles and across deserts. One day, however, she hurt her back getting off a camel.
"What a foolish thing to do," said Miss Rumphius. "Well, I have certainly seen faraway places. Maybe it is time to find my place by the sea." And it was, and she did. Miss Rumphius was almost perfectly happy. "But there is still one more thing I have to do," she said. "I have to do something to make the world more beautiful." "But what? The world is already pretty nice," she thought, looking out over the ocean.
The next spring, Miss Rumphius's back was hurting again. She had to stay in bed most of the time. Through her bedroom window, she could see the tall blue and purple and rose-colored lupin flowers she had planted the summer before.
"Lupins," said Miss Rumphius with satisfaction. "I have always loved lupins the best. I wish I could plant more seeds this summer so that I could have still more flowers next year." But she was not able to.
A hard winter came, then spring. Miss Rumphius was feeling better. She could take walks again. One day she came to a hill where she had not been in a long time. "I don't believe my eyes," she cried when she got to the top. For there on the other side of the hill was a large patch of blue and purple and rose-colored lupins.
"It was the wind," she said as she knelt in the light. "It was the wind that brought the seeds from my garden here. And the birds must have helped." Then Miss Rumphius had a wonderful idea.
That idea was to buy lupin seed, lots of it. All summer, wherever she went, Miss Rumphius would drop handfuls of seeds over fields, along roads, around the schoolhouse, behind the church. Her back did not hurt her anymore. But now some people called her that crazy old lady. The next spring there were lupins everywhere. Miss Rumphius had done the most difficult thing of all. The young storyteller in the book continues.
"My great aunt Alice, Miss Rumphius, is very old now. Her hair is very white. Every year, there are more and more lupins. Now they call her the Lupin Lady. When I grow up, I tell her, I too will go to faraway places and come home to live by the sea. That is all very well, little Alice," says my aunt, "but there is a third thing you must do." "What is that?" I ask. "You must do something to make the world more beautiful."
Many readers, young and old, would agree that Barbara Cooney did just that.
Many of Barbara Cooney's later books took place in the small northeastern state of Maine. She spent summers there when she was a child, then moved to Maine in her later years. She loved Maine. She gave her local library almost $1 million. The state showed its love for her. In 1996, the governor of Maine declared Barbara Cooney a state treasure.
This special English program was written by Avi Arditi and produced by Paul Thompson. Our audio engineer was Bob Phillips. Your narrators were Steve Ember, Shirley Griffith, and Adrian Arditi.
Join us again next week for another People in America program on the Voice of America.